Those two readings from Hebrews and from John's Gospel both offer a big perspective on the story of Jesus, a kind of a cosmic view of the world and of our history. And Hebrews, I know it was a very short reading, but it was also very profound. Let's look just very briefly at what it's saying. I wonder if we could just go back. Thank you, Helen. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. I'm sure the writer's thinking there of the Old Testament, all the prophecies about Jesus and the law and so on. And possibly he's thinking also of nature, when you look up at the sky, and maybe even our consciences, and maybe even religion and art and so on, all the myriad different ways in which we might get a glimpse of God. And he's saying, just think about it, God has spoken down the ages to all our ancestors. He's given people a preview, a starter course, if you like. But, verse 2, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. If you think of your Bible, it's in two bits, the Old Testament, the New Testament. So this verse 2 is just talking about the New Testament, the Gospels, Jesus Christ himself. This is it, he's saying. This is the big one. This is the main course. In these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son. This is the climax, the fulfillment of it all. And he's not talking about a text. He's talking about an individual. He's not talking about a message typed out or whatever, but a person. He's not talking about a concept or a philosophy, but a saviour. Appointed the heir, in other words, the inheritor, the one to whom it all comes in the end, the heir of all things. Jesus, he's saying, is the omega, the purpose, the aim of it all, if you like, the one for whom everything exists. Through whom he made the universe. He's not only the Omega, he's also the Alpha, the agent of creation. Remember back in Genesis, God spoke and he said, let there be light, let there be earth, let there be sea, let there be sky, and so on. And the Word, John is telling us in his Gospel, the Word was the Son, Jesus. So Jesus was there at creation. He was the active agent. And through the Son, God created worlds and galaxies and stars. And what's he like, this Son of God, then? Well, here's the detail in verse 3. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. Not a second person, not an alternative deity, more than just a great teacher of people, as many people patronizingly think of him, more than just a superior prophet, as the Muslims call him. No, Jesus, well, he said to his disciples, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. And so Hebrews says the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. In other words, when we look at Jesus, we see God himself as a man walking among us. And he sustains all things by his powerful word, Hebrews says there. In other words, he's not only the creator at the beginning, but he's also the minute by minute sustainer, the one who keeps everything running, if you like, from day to day. I don't know if you've watched Planet Earth 2, but some of the things that we know now about nature are marvellous, aren't they? The intricate way that it all works together. Do you ever wake up glad to be alive? Glad for your breath and your heartbeat? Glad to be walking on this earth? In that case, thank him, because he's the one who upholds all things. He's the one who gives us life and breath and everything. After he had provided purification for sins, that was his main act. Helen, have we got that picture again of the crib with the cross on it? Lovely. Because Christmas is nothing without Easter. The whole purpose of Jesus coming was, as Hebrews puts it, to provide purification for sins. And that means that even from the beginning, even from the angel speaking to Mary, they knew that he was the man born to die. His name, the name that he was given, Jesus, means God saves, which is why Christmas always looks ahead to Good Friday and to Easter. And we can't truly appreciate this child, Jesus, until we grasp his true significance in his death on the cross for our sins. Just back to Hebrews for a moment. He sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. A bit like a workman putting down his tools. Job done, finished. Jesus ascending again to the right hand of the Father. And he might very well have sat back to admire his work on earth. A good piece of craftsmanship, as I'm sure he did with some of his carpentry in the carpenter's shop. And so, verse 4, Hebrews says, he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. I don't know if you've noticed, but Christmas is full of angels. There's one up on the tree behind me, isn't there? And there's angels in the story everywhere. An angel coming to Mary, an angel speaking to John the Baptist's parents, an angel speaking to Joseph. Angels everywhere in the sky, speaking to the shepherds and so on. Angels all over the place, running, if you like, to do God's bidding and to tell people what's about to happen. We even put angels on our cards and our presents and our Christmas cake and everything, don't we? But magnificent as angels are, lovely as they are, nevertheless, they're only the heralds of the king. They're only, if you like, the forestory, the foretelling, aren't they? Christ himself is the centre of it all. So just to bring this to a close, what I want to suggest is that you put Christ at the centre of your Christmas. I was told once, if you take Christ out of Christmas, all you're left with is M&S. You've stripped it of its meaning, haven't you? You've taken the heart out of it. During one of the recent wobbles in our national economy, Chief Rabbi Jonathan Sacks commented this: faith is not certainty, but it's the courage to live with uncertainty. Faith is not certainty. A lot of people think it is, but it's the courage to live with uncertainty. And what I found so wonderful about that quote is the realism of it. Because there are times, aren't there, when Christmas seems a little bit airy-fairy, a bit like sort of naive escapism. Oh dear, we'll come back to Earth again in January, won't we? Seems a little bit unreal sometimes, a fairy tale, doesn't it? But Jonathan Sacks reminds us that faith, true faith, is not escapism, but it's courage to carry into everyday life, Monday to Saturday. Courage that equips us to face the year to come. So will you put Christ at the centre? At the centre of Christmas, but also at the centre of your life, at the centre of your uncertainties from day to day, because he will give you courage for the year ahead. Let's bow our heads for a moment. Lord, help us to put you at the heart of the story of our world, at the heart of Christmas, at the heart of our lives. Be with us, Lord, this Christmas, this new year, and in 2017. For Christ's sake. Amen.